Okay, Shalom Aleichem. So again, we're doing Ner Mitzvah, Maharal, Ezer Seshem, Blue Neder, until Hanukkah. We'll recap what we saw last week. The Maharal began with Daniel's vision of the four Malchias. The four Malchias, each represented as a different fearsome animal, right? We saw that, you know, generally, without getting into particulars, none of them were regular animals. They each had these very scary features to them. But in general, the first one, Malchus Bavel, was a lion, wings, etc. But right now, I'm just talking in a very basic way. Malchus Bavel appeared as a lion, a fearsome lion. All these animals came up from the sea in Daniel's vision. Malchus Paras, Golus Paras, Malchus Paras, came up as a bear. Malchus Yova appeared as a nomer, leopard, jaguar, tiger, whatever it'll be, a nomer, I guess I'll just call it. And Malchus Edom appeared just as this indescribable, incredibly fearsome beast. He didn't even describe it in terms of anything we're familiar with, just a very, very scary, fearsome-looking beast. They came up. These are the four Malchias. The four Malchias characterize the course of history. The course of history is reflected in these four Malchias. And the Maharal told us, and we know also, we use the terms the Arba Malchias, the Arba Golias, interchangeably. The Maharal told us that these Arba Malchias represent something very inherent in the Bria. It's not just that as history unfolded, at one point there was this Malchus, at one point there was that Malchus. These Arba Malchias are built into the blueprint of the Bria itself. Meaning what? He said the number four represents departure from Hashem. Olam Hazeh, the physical world, is a certain departure from Hashem, is Echad, the Achdus of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. And the number four, and Olam Hazeh is a certain departure from Hashem. Right? We can have a certain reality where Hashem could, Chalila, not be seen, right? Hashem could not be seen. Person could move through this world oblivious to Hashem. It's a certain departure from Hashem Echad. And departure from Hashem Echad, from one, he told us is four. The number four represents that. This is, see, in Maharal, in general, there's a lot of significance to numbers, which is really just reflects that in Kabbalah, there's a lot of significance to numbers. Maharal is dealing with a lot of Kabbalah, you say this, in esoteric philosophic terms. You don't hear him talking Kabbalah language, but that is what this is. Therefore, numbers have a lot of significance. Gematrias have a lot of significance. We'll see as we go along. The forms of letters have a lot of significance. We'll see as we go along. Whatever the case is, four reflects departure from Hashem. Why? If you have one, that single spot, that single dot in the middle, that's one. Four is, if you depart from that one, you can depart in four different directions. And therefore, the number one symbolizes, represents departure from Hashem Echad. Therefore, we're recapping what we saw last week. Therefore, Olam Hazeh is reflected in the number four. And these four Malchias, these are all Malchias that attempted to conquer, to subjugate the Jewish people, or even at the very least, to compete with Malchus Yisrael, right? They were Mevatel Malchus Yisrael. And therefore, they embody the essence of Olam Hazeh as a departure from Hashem Echad. Which brings us back to the point that the whole physical world is Be'etzem. What it is a departure from Hashem Echad. It's a certain struggle against Hashem Echad. And so what are we? We are physical, but we are part of that world. The answer is that we're not. This is what we saw in the Maharal last week. This is basically what we came to last week. The Jewish people are a Goy Echad. we are the exact opposite. Even though it looks like we are a part of the natural world, we're a part of the physical world, we really embody a certain tension in the Bria. Kal Yisrael are the representation of Hashem's oneness. Kiviyachol, we oneness. We are Kiviyachol, the ambassador of Hashem in this world. Kal Yisrael are 13 Shvatim, right? Am zu yotzartili, the Maharals told us. Am zu yotzartili, Tehilos Yisapeu. I created this nation for me. They will express my praises. Am zu, he said, the nation of zu. Literally, this means this nation. He said, it's the nation of zu. Zayin vav is begematria, 13. We have 13 Shvatim. The Jewish people are 13 Shvatim, right? We have 12 Shvatim. Yosef is divided into two, Menashe and Ephraim. 13 Shvatim. 13 is begematria. Echad. I have to realize, by the way, as we're going to be learning Maharal, like I said before, we're going to be exposed to significance in numbers, gematrias, significance of the forms of the letters, as we're about to see. We sometimes tend to relate these to these things as in the realm of like Vertlach, right? Not serious Vertlach. It often is turned into that, but essentially, this is all Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, everything in about Yiddishkeit, including Lashon Kodesh, all the different pieces of reality are live. It's like live electricity. Aleph Beis, normally an alphabet is just like a point of reference, right? So like a table, if I call this a table, it's completely arbitrary. If everybody would agree, there's no reason not to switch, call this a chair and this a table. It's completely in meaning of what we call haskama. There's no inherent connection between the word table and this. It's just a reference. But in Lashon Kodesh, it's not like that. In Lashon Kodesh, words carry live power, live energy. And there's something inherently shulchan about this. And it's in the letters. Somehow the combination of Shin, Lamed, Ches, Nun, they create this entity that is a table. And somehow the gematria of Shulchan also is very relevant to the table. Because even the numeric value behind something carries a certain live charge. So it's important to realize that once we're dealing with Sfarim like the Maharal, and if you become exposed to other, if you'll ever learn like Sfarim that are straddling Kabbalah, you will see a lot of emphasis placed on gematria, etc. So it's important to realize that, yeah, when it's just in terms of Vertlach, being brought home by a little kid for the parsha, it's cute. But once you're really moving into the serious realms, these things are very serious. But back to where we were. Klal Yisrael is kiviyachol. It's something very, very different than what you see in the rest of the world. The rest of the world is a departure from Echad. It's a departure from the Echad. Therefore, it's four. It moves away in four different directions. Four is the contradiction to Echad. Whereas, as the world departed from Hashem, Hashem said, but wait, I'm going to catch up with the world. I'm going to maintain my expression in that world. How? I'm going to radiate from me an Am called Klal Yisrael. They will be my reflection, my representation in that world. So even though it looks like we're physical, the world is physical, it's mamish attention. It's not. There really is no room for the essence of Olam Hazeh is working against the Klal Yisrael. It's conflicting with the Echad. And therefore, as we discussed last week, opposition to Am Hashem is not a quirk of any particular person or persons. It's built into the reality of Olam Hazeh, not in the Matzav of Vayim Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Lishmo Echad. It's built in, like we said from the Gro last week, Sarah's inability to conceive was from the same Sheirish as anti-Semitism. It's opposition to the Am Hashem built into this world. And that's why this is an important Hashkafic piece. Don't invest emotional energies in fretting about anti-Semitism, in being hurt and indignant whenever it raises its head somewhere else. Oh, him too. Don't invest emotional energies to working against it, because it's not going away. If one nation quits, a different nation will volunteer for the job. It's an energy in the Bria. It's a spiritual energy in the Bria. You can rotate between different nations. I'm not saying that we have to accept a reality of being killed, Khalila. We certainly have to do our hishtadlus to be okay. But you know, when the 21st century Jew feels all indignant about it and can't believe that it's still here, he's missing a piece of spiritual reality. It's not going away. It's not going away until we reach a situation of Vayimahu Yeh Hashem Echad
Ushmei Echad. Is it inappropriate to see and hear about something anti-Semitic? What if you know got hurt? To like sort of be excited like you would over something in Shabbat Shina? Because at the end of the day, if let's say it's really illogical and it bothers you because it's so illogical, then it's just another simon if it's Borei Olam.
If David is asking, can we actually look at expressions of anti-Semitism as a certain sign of divinity in our world? So again, you qualified it by saying that Khalil, if a Jew actually gets hurt, then that's where our first attentions lie. But having said that, you expressed it that way, you expressed it right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We should see it that way. Anti-Semitism is in the Bria, and the story of our history, which is so intertwined with anti-Semitism, is all a part of the sugya of seeing the Yad Hashem. Right? Just like Mamshak, you said, just like you should learn to study the natural world and see Hashem there, history is also a very chashuv a sugya to learn and study and see Hashem there.
Isn't it a result of Maamar Har Sinai? Isn't that where it began? So you had that Gemara that.
Yod Sin Alaylo.
Different types of sin. There's a Sinai Yaakov also, so that would be for Maamar.
Right.
Meaning sorrow is before Esav.
That's right. That's right. It's all the same point. Yes, you're saying the Gemara of Sinai. Lama Nikoshma Sinai. Why is it called Sinai Shemisham? Yod Sin Alaylo. Right. Yeah, the pshat is that was Har Sinai was when the whole function of an Am Hashem reached its fullest, that we were plugged in as Am Hashem, right? So then also that function of that Sinai suddenly took very physical, practical expression. But yeah, all it was an energy that's part of the Bria coming, materializing, like coming into fuller force at this point. Yeah. Okay. So this appreciation, just the appreciation of that fact, we are an inherently different reality. If you think of it, you see two people standing next to each other. A Ben Yisrael and then Eino Yehudi standing next to each other. Look the same height, same color, same texture, right? But what you're actually seeing is two inherently different things. One is something that's sprouting up from the ground. Plants sprout up from the ground and life sprouts from the ground. And ultimately, it'll go back down like that, like all the rest does. But what you're seeing in the other case is the other person is an anchor of something radiating from all the way on high and anchoring itself in this. Look very similar. We're talking about two totally different things. One is a part of a physical world that is departure from Hashem Echad. The other is actually a radiation of, a representation of Hashem Echad. So realize that Klal Yisrael, in their existence, are kiviyachol representing Hashem. This is an important point to realize because we are ambassadors of Hashem in this world. And we usually put the focus on our ambassadors of Hashem in terms of the way we lead our lives, in terms of the mitzvahs and averus that we do, in terms of the kiddushim shamayim that we cause. But we should realize that there's an added dimension of that in our very existence. The Jewish people's existence is Hashem's way of showing that He's here. The fact that there's a Jewish nation, right? Today, the Kuzari says that back in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem showed that He's in this world through the glorified state of the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people were living in a supernatural reality, and that was Hashem's sign to the world. I'm reflecting myself off the Jewish people. Look at the supernatural prosperity, success, security, victories of the Jewish people, and you see me reflected there, right? Hashem was is showing himself through the Jewish people, then through their prosperity. In the Galus, Hashem is showing himself, and this is mamash the point that I've never made before, in the anti-Semitism that's constantly working against the Jew, and the fact that we're still here, we're the most oppressed people in history. Chavis Alava says, if you want to see Nisim, no less than Itias Mitzrayim, look at the fact that we're still here. He was talking 1,000 years ago. He was talking before there were Crusades, before the Inquisition, before the Holocaust. Right? He couldn't dream of what was coming, right? What was there right at that point? Okay, significant things at that point in history also. But compared to what was coming, and he said, if you want to see today a moifetz of equal significance to the great Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, look at the fact that Am Yisrael is still here, the most oppressed people in history, persecuted by, helpless for so long, persecuted by the mightiest nations. They never got rid of us. That's weiter. Through our oppression, Hashem is showing, I'm here, Rabbi Yisai. Okay. So this is basically what we saw last week. So now let's move on. The Maral is showing us another example of this. Now I'm going to jump around. I'm going to jump, not jump around, but jump like maybe skipping as we move along. You should realize further, we should see, he showed us last week how Chazal already read the existence of the four Malchus into the very second pasuk of the Torah when it's describing the Torah of Oyro, right? So because, again, it's like he said, these are, it's built into the Bria, the Koyach of these Malchus. And now he says, look at it in another way. Right, all familiar with the concept that Hashem created the world, B'Shem Ka, Yud, Hey. Olam Abba Nivra B'Yud, Mishmaya Gada. Olam Abba was built with the letter Yud. Yud is Olam Abba. V'Olam Azeh Nivra B'Hey, Mishmaya Gada. Olam Azeh is Nivra B'Hey. Meaning what? V'Zeh, he explains. Kishen Ka Baruch Hu, the Yud represents the Echad, right? We said Echad is just that central point. It doesn't have any, it's not right, it's not left, it's just all encompassing because it isn't any of those. It's not right, it's not left, it's not up, it's not down, it's just that central point, right? That's the Echad. And then the four departs from it, right? So he said the Yud is that point of Achdus. Small, undefined. Now, Yud can't be divided into different letters. Yud is inherently one, can't be divided into two. It isn't various components coming together. It's just pure one. At that center point. So Yud represents Hashem's achdus, Hashem's oneness. The Hey, Moira. What is the Hey? So the Yud is Olam Abba. It's just Hashem Echad. What's the Hey? The Hey is Olam Azeh. How? Ki al toimak hu yizbach echad. I'm skipping a little bit. Ki a Hey, yesh boi hadalid, ve yesh bo nekuda toich hadalid. The Hey is a dalid in the Yud. Right? It's a dalid in the Yud. The Dalit, as we explained, represents the departure from Hashem Echad. So what do we have in Hey? It's the Dalit, which is the departure, the physical part of the world, the departure from Hashem Echad. And we have the Yud, which is the Hashem Echad itself. Here we have the Vaita, that tension between the departure from Hashem Echad and the Hashem Echad, which, as we said, is actually the tension between the Umas Olam and Klal Yisrael, the physical world and the Achdus Hashem. Okay? So now, weiter, I'm skipping a bit. So, ha-heyesh ba-dalit, asha-dalit mar-al-dalit luchas. We have the hey, which includes the dalit, which are the four directions. Ayudak tano shebasoich ha-dalit hu-echad, k'negad emtsoi, and that point, the yud in the dalit is the Hashem echad, v'echad mitztaref el-akoil, and it comes together into one letter to show that really, this is really one entity. What looks like tension, what looks like there's a struggle here, really it's one entity. It's that one yud that's holding the dalit in place. So it's like a certain, I don't call it like a spiritual physics kiviyachol. What?
It's an anchor.
Yeah. But it's even more than that, because what's enabling the friction with the Hashem Echad is the Hashem Echad. Right? The Hashem Echad, these Umas thought, take Bava, okay? He thought that he is an independent entity. By fighting Am Yisrael, he can wipe them out, obliterate the concept of Hashem Echad, and then he reigns supreme. But what he didn't chap was that his whole existence is that struggle against the Hashem Echad. Very theoretically, which is not shayich, but theoretically, if the Hashem Echad were to go away, he would lose his whole essence. The whole essence is a struggle. He thinks that he's there to overcome it. But his whole essence is to struggle against it. Right? You pull out the yud, everything else falls apart. So it's the yud that's maintaining the whole force, all the forces that are struggling against it. Right? So we come back to the point. The Klal Yisrael are providing the umas with their existence, with their significance as the opponents of Am Hashem. And they don't realize that they are drawing their lifeblood off us while they're trying to destroy us. What's that? Oh, very good. I hear. Okay. So now, and therefore, we have this ongoing tension. Therefore, we have the four malchias, which represent the departure, the opposition to Hashem Echad. The Yesh Ba'ilam Achdus. And then you have the Hashem Echad that's holding it all together. That's the essence of it all. And that is Yisrael. That's being represented in Yisrael. Okay. Now I'm going to skip a bit and move on to the next stage of the discussion. As we skip a little bit more, we move back to the vision of Daniel, just on the story, to finish rounding out the point. He saw these four creatures coming up from where? From the sea. Right? This is also an important part of understanding the essence of this world. The sea is the vast majority of the world. But the world is about the Abashim. Right? And that's how Hashem's reality works. The essence of something is not reflected in what you see in bulk. That is often the tafel, it's the backdrop. And therefore, what is in the sea, Lamaisa? It's an immense air conditioner for the Abasha. Also other things. It provides all kinds of different resources, etc., right? But you see, yam, 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 it's a world of yam. No, it's a world of Yabasha, and there's an awful lot of yam sustaining it. And the yam is not even really called part of where it's happening. Where is it happening? Where is the stage of this world? The arena of this world is the Abasha. The yam isn't really where it's happening. And that's also here. You have the Umas HaOlam, right? That's the story of the world. Right? These Dalin Malchis, immense empires. It's the yam. The yam. And where is it really happening? Klal Yisrael is the Abasha. Yisrael Nimshalu.
Not drawn to scale.
The Abasha.
Not drawn to scale. The yam is like 70%. And the Umas HaOlam are like 99%. You
know, that's right. I guess even the yam is just the marshal, right?
Right. I'm saying that's right. the Yavosha is like 30% of the world. The Am Yisrael is like 1% of the world.
So that's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. I once gave a drush on this here years ago when Shabbos and Rabbi Linowitz wasn't here, talking about the central place of Klal Yisrael and the Bria. somebody came up to me afterwards, it didn't ring true to his Western ears. He's having a very hard time with it. Right? Yeah, it's Klal Yisrael, our Lechus Koyanim, etc. But we're there to serve the Goyim, to be an Orla Goyim. The Goyim are just as important to that whole thing. So it says, it's Muchach. He's quoting me philosophers or Chleisvos. I don't know, but it's Muchach that there can't be differences in mankind. So what's that? Differences in mankind. All of mankind is immensely important to Chleisvos. So I said something like, I'm telling you, Maral and Kuzari, which is ridiculous because, you know, sometimes when you start sourcing things, that itself legitimizes the discussion, right? So he says, yeah, but Mikom Elamda Hizkalti. I love that. Mikom Elamda Hizkalti. You have to be able to learn wisdom from all sources. Meaning, there are other schools, mainly outside of our sources. You have to be able to hear the wisdom of all sources. I said to him, "Woman, Mikom Lamda Iskalti includes also the Maharal and the Kuzari. They certainly qualify as part of the Koil, right? We can learn from them too, right?" Whatever the case is, yes, this is something that the Maharal is banging into us.
The Goyim are programmed to look at a Jew.
That's right. This is all coming back to that same point. That's right.
I don't know where Israel is, but they.
That's right. It's completely disproportionate. The attention the Jew commands, negative attention that the Jew commands in the whole scheme of history, is all a sign of, like you said before, it's all signs of the divine pulse pulsing in the brain. Okay, we're going to skip again a little bit. Then he moves on to another, to the next stage of the discussion. The next part of Daniel's vision after seeing these Abba Malchias was that afterwards he saw, it continued with, Achashoa Malchias Betsuas Dalib Chayas, after he saw these Malchias in the form of four beasts, Ra Malchus Yisrael, then he saw the fifth Malchus, Malchus Yisrael. Bitoya ubitsuas odom. I skipped a whole bunch of them.
I've been trying to place it. Okay.
I'll try to plan it the following weeks. First of all, to have more svarim here and then to make it clearer how I'm jumping. He saw Malchus Yisrael in the form of a man. Can exceed. Like the pasuk then continues and says, Va'aru im anoni shemaya kibar enash asam. And then, among the clouds of the sky, I saw the form of a man approaching. Ki Malchus, Melech HaMashiach Eloki Legamre. Because this is already going to be man in his divine form. Melech HaMashiach, Yisrael. Right? Ulefichach, Kara Oisai Bar Enosh. Therefore, he saw him in the form of man. Meaning as follows. You know what? I will take advantage, since you're not following inside this week, to jump actually backwards a little bit now. He says that the reason the Marba Malchius, we saw, first of all, why they're four. And we saw why they're coming from the sea, right? All representing the reality of the world surrounding us, right? But also, Roy Shion in Shalim Dalim Malchius, Roy Sam Dalim Chayes, Kibir Erev Zer Roy Shion in Shalim Dalim Malchius. He saw them as beasts. And that's how they are properly represented. Why? Because what is the vart of Adam? What is the significance of Adam? The significance of Adam is the divine connection. Is the divine connection that he carries in him. What are we? The Neshama of Klal Yisrael is a, if you will, a satellite, when it harnesses, like a something that like captures energy. Like a satellite dish, or is that a good example? Kiviyachol for Elokus, Shechina is Shoyra B'Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael have that infrastructure. The properties of the Neshama are such that Hashem could connect to it, and that's how we can be a Merkava L'Shechina in this world. And that is the yichudiyut. That is the significance of man. Man is kiviyachol, a landing pad for Shechina in this world. Or the term that's actually used by the Kadmonim, a merkava l'shechina, right? If man can actually bring down upon him Shechina and thereby bring Shechina into this world. Let's cut the significance of this. When Hashem created a physical world, kiviyachol, he withdrew, kiviyachol. Hashem is not physical. And therefore, in a physical world, kiviyachol, where's the elokus? And the answer is that we are the ones expressing elokus in this world. Like we said before, passively, just the way Hashem conducts our history, but certainly actively, mainly actively, right? By doing ma'asim that express elokus, by talking elokus, by thinking elokus. If I think about Torah, I'm bringing elokus into the physical world. If I do a mitzvah, I'm bringing elokus into the physical world. So the essence of man is, the significance of Adam is the koyach eloiki, right? The elokus that he expresses. Since these Arba Malchus don't have that, so what are they? The most intelligent of life, right? Of the other world, the animal world. And therefore, they appeared as four beasts. Whereas Adam, the Melech HaMashiach, appeared in the form of a man. The Eloki connection. Okay. So now we understand Daniel's vision. Yeah, and the next stage is going to be contrasting this with a vision that Nebuchadnezzar had of the four Malchus. But again, let's just sum up what we've seen of how in Daniel's vision we see this whole scheme, this tension between the representation of Hashem Echad in this world and the departure of Hashem Echad in this world. He saw four fearsome beasts coming up from the sea. And Maral said, this contains three components. Four beasts coming from the sea. And this captures the essence of the rest of the world, the physical world, and or the rest of mankind. It's four, because that whole world is departure from the essence of Hashem Echad. It is from the sea, not from the Abasha, because it's not really the story of Olam Hazeh. Really, the story of Olam Hazeh is the Hashem Echad persisting through it all, right? The whole purpose of the whole tension, right? The whole purpose of the departure is for the Hashem Echad, the Klal Yisrael, to prevail in that struggle, right? So the whole physical part of this world, the whole Arba Malchus, the whole story of mankind, the whole physical world is the Yam relative to the Abashim. The story of the world, the main stage of the world, is Klal Yisrael's performance. The rest is the Yam. And it's the beasts, because this is life without the Chibur Eloki, without the Eloki aspect to it. Okay, we'll just introduce what's coming, what we'll see next week in Mitzvah Hashem, and that is Nebuchadnezzar's vision. Nebuchadnezzar also had a vision of the four Malchus. How does he see the four Malchus? So we'll just see, oh, that's right. So we'll just see the pasuk. Amnon kasher Nebuchadnezzar rasha. Kasher Nebuchadnezzar rasha arba Malchus. When Nebuchadnezzar rasha had his vision of the four Malchus, ra oisa b'tayel b'tzelem adam. He saw them in the form of man, as a great statue. V'rahu, what he saw was Tzalama, a great statue. Reshe v'dahav tav, its head was of quality gold. Chadoi udra'oihi dikesef, its arms and chest, torso, upper torso, was silver. Ma'oi v'yalkese dinachash, his thighs and stomach, the stomach and thighs were copper. Shakoihi diparzel, his legs were metal. Maglai, and when he got to the feet, minhoin diparzel, minhoin dichasaf, it was part metal, part earth. So here, Nebuchadnezzar is seeing the Abba Malchus in the form of man, but Daniel only saw Melech Mashiach in the form of man. The Abba Malchus in the form of beasts. And another difference the Maharal is going to pay attention to is that Daniel, when he saw man appear as in the Melech Mashiach, he said he saw him kind of like take form among the clouds of the sky. He didn't actually see a body. He didn't even see a body. He saw like some like more cloudy figure of a man. What?
A silhouette.
Well, not exactly a silhouette. It wasn't the shadow. He saw something, but it was more like cloud, right? Ruach rather than body. Whereas with Nebuchadnezzar, the man that he saw was exactly the opposite. It wasn't the body of a man. It was a statue. It was a statue. Right? He didn't see a flesh body. He saw something more inanimate, right? Whereas Daniel saw something more refined. So these points we'll see next week in Mitzvah Hashem. We'll try to move things so we keep the stages of the conversation, the discussion. Right there, Daniel. Beis, Lamed, Beis, Gimel. Okay. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.
Thank you so much.
Found the place.